All right. Well, thank you for that opening. And it is my privilege to be up here. It doesn't feel very natural for me to like to get in front of people sometimes. And often I spend a lot of time planning what to say. And then when I come say it, it doesn't come out the way I mean it to. But I know God is with me. And I know many of you have been praying for me. I appreciate that a lot. A lot of you have been a big part of my life, and I do appreciate all of you. And while I was saying all that, I was supposed to be getting my slideshow set up. All right. Bear with me here, and we'll sign in. All right. Before we get started and go any further, let's have a word of prayer together. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to each person on this earth. I thank you for your grace to me, how you've touched my life, and how you give each one of us a story to tell. I pray tonight that if anyone here is searching for you, that something will speak to them. And I know that you've chosen to use me, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit will lead me. Thank you, Jesus, that you have died on the cross for me, for my sin, and there's nothing I can do to deserve that, that my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but it's only through the blood of Jesus, only through your blood, that I have a relationship with God the Father. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for each person here tonight and for the blessing that many of them have been in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was thinking through, I spent a lot of time reflecting on my life, and it was a really good thing for me to have to prepare to share tonight, because it reminded me of God in work, at work, in my life. And on Tuesday evening, this is a verse that popped up. It's showing up a little bright there. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And just a reminder to me that everything I do, I need to be abiding in Christ, because without him, it is nothing. So that was an encouragement this week. So as I reflect on my life, I see and understand that God keeps working on me, and it's been good to think back and remember his miracles in my own life, because often I feel like the children of Israel, we wander away and are quick to complain, and we need to reflect and come back to what God has done in our life, because he is good to us. I've always really wanted a close relationship with God, and I have often found myself doubting and wondering if he's even real. There's been a lot of time in my life wondering, how come I don't feel very close to God? And the answer to that is through Jesus Christ and abiding in him. And it was neat this morning how it was mentioned that we are theoretically close to God, but in our own practical lives, it doesn't always seem like that. And I'm just going to touch on a few things that I've been reflecting on lately, and then I'm going to share a little bit of the story of my life and a few things from that. This is one thing that I've been reflecting on quite a lot in the last few years. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And seeing how that often lacks in my own life, and I have that desire, but that's something I am seeking more of in my life, to have a deeper and close relationship with the Lord, my God. And to love your neighbor as yourself. The two first commandments, speaking of love. And it's interesting. I do have one of my neighbors sitting with us here tonight. But the Bible does, and I'm honored that he's come out. But the Bible speaks about the neighbor as being anyone who is in need. And we are commanded to love them as ourselves. And this is done only through Jesus. Without him, we can do nothing. So anyway, in my beginnings, I thought I'd show a couple pictures. That's me as a baby, born in 85. I was a third child, born to John and Edna Bossman sitting here. And there I have a Norwell Dairy Systems hat on. On this side, I was exposed to trades from a young age. Watched Dad work and fix a lot of things. And he taught me how to be a handyman with my hands. In fact, we had something go wrong on the weekend. Our coffee maker broke down. So first thing I did is took it apart. And I appreciate his example of teaching me a lot of things in the trades. The picture on your right there, I was about 2.5 years old there, and I just was thinking that was about the age I was when Sarah, my wife, was born into this world. So we're about 2.5 years apart. And I have lots of special childhood memories, and I clearly remember believing in Jesus and putting my trust in him at a young age. Around Christmas time of 1991, I think it was, an invitation was given out after watching a Christmas drama at Koinonia Christian Fellowship in Bloomingdale, that if anyone would like to know more about becoming a Christian, that we could meet with someone in a separate room. And I understood clearly that I was a sinner and separated from God by my sin, and that Jesus would save me. And I put my faith in Christ for salvation at that time, along with my sister Cheryl as well, right? Yeah. So there's a picture on the right of me being baptized. You could see that looks very familiar. The ferns have not wilted. They're long-lasting. And so in 1998, well, actually, I'll back up a little bit. We started coming to the chapel here when I was 9 years old. In 1994, thanks, Mom. And till then, I used to sleep in church every single evening. And first time we came here, I slept in church, and, well, I can't say it anymore, but I used to say that was the last time I slept in church. I may have nodded off since then. That's God dealt with my pride on that. But anyways, I did find that once we were here, I was a lot more engaged in listening. And it's probably different for every child when they really start listening in church. But that was definitely a turning point for me, and really enjoyed it, primarily because there's different speakers sharing their testimonies and life stories, and that meant a lot to me. Anyway, on the left here was a Sunday school picture. Dan Hordyke, my brother Dave, Brian Van Veen, that's me, Hope Robertson, Jessica Winger, and Jacqueline Hordyke. And we were having a Sunday school class party at John and Salita Fry's home that day, and we found some Trilliums. Was there something wrong with that? I guess you're supposed to let them grow. But anyways, I do want to take this opportunity to say thank you to Salita, and I think especially of David Robertson and other Sunday school teachers who have had a huge impact in my life. And I remember listening and learning. I don't know if I behaved or not all the time. I wasn't the loudest person in class, I don't think, but I do really appreciate your work in the Sunday school, and it has meant a lot to me, and I'm sure to your other students. I don't think we should ever underestimate the influence and impact we have on children, because they don't forget stuff very easily, which can be good and can be bad, and we need to choose to influence them well. We're moving pretty fast here. One day when I was around 16 years old, I was working away at home doing school, and I was listening to a song called My Redeemer. And at that point, it really hit me what Jesus Christ had done for me personally, and I broke down in tears and rededicated my life to Him. And I had a strong desire to grow as a Christian and spend time with God. And through my teen years, I enjoyed lots of time with God, reading the Bible and memorizing from it. And it was around this time that I met Sarah, and it didn't take long to fall in love with her. She charmed me. And it was their family and her siblings basically started coming to youth group here. And Derek, her brother, who's here, we spent a lot of time together. And more, you're still bitter, aren't you? I shut Derek out of my life and shifted all my attention to Sarah. And he has no excuse not to forgive him, because we've all been forgiven everything, but we all have to forgive. Yes. Thank you, Derek, for putting up with me. I know I'm sometimes a grouchy guy, but I do love you. All right. So, at the age of 18, I remember I was working for the family business. We were doing heating systems and stuff like that, heating and air conditioning. And I was driving along, and I was really thinking, I don't know if I just want to do this every day, day after day, for the rest of my life. It's just getting a little restless in it. Already at 18, I know that it's not too long to be employed by that point. But anyways, I really had a strong desire to go somewhere and do something and try to just bless someone somewhere else and to see a different culture. And I believe it was, so I started talking to some of the elders here, and I'd been looking at a few different places I was thinking to go. And I talked to Mervin, and he suggested maybe visiting Zambia. So anyways, figured that all out. I decided I'd go, and was going to go to Chitokoloki. Wound up at Sakeji School, first of all, with intentions to later go to Chitokoloki. I'll just explain the pictures here. There's Sarah saying goodbye to me. Of course, that was really hard for us. And so while I was there, I helped with some building projects. You can see I was in the workshop and some houses being built there. Showed a picture of the room I was staying in, mainly because there's a pineapple in it. And this was a story of seeing God come through when I called out to Him. I'd originally gone over with some older gentlemen. They left after a month to go home, and there weren't very many youth around. It didn't take long, and I felt pretty lonely. During the day, it was fine. I was with kids and had lots to do, but at nighttime, I just sometimes sit in my room and not have a whole lot to do. And that discouraged me. I normally don't mind being alone for a certain extent, but it gets to me after a while. And I just, while I was praying that day, I just asked God to give me something special, just to encourage me. I said, God, I'm just feeling a little down. And within minutes, there was a knock on my door, and someone came up and handed me a couple pineapples. And to me, that was God telling me, I'm looking out for you. I care for you, Mark. And I definitely enjoyed the pineapples. They didn't keep me in very good company, but I knew that was God coming through on that. Then later in 2005, I ended up going back to Zambia, and this time Derek came with me. I think part of Derek's heart's still there too. It was quite a time. The guy in the middle, I had worked with the first time a fair bit, and he borrowed a bike and traveled for a couple hours just to say hello to me, and then he was on his way again, and that was quite meaningful to me. But we spent a lot of time with kids there. Sakeji School, I should explain, is a boarding school, and about half of them are Zambian children, and half of them are missionary children of missionaries in Zambia and surrounding countries. And so the kids are there for a couple months at a time. And so for them to have some youth to run around with them and to play with them is really meaningful. They attach themselves to you very quickly and love the time you spend with them. Bottom right, this was at an orphanage. We would occasionally go to the orphanage. I think Derek did more than I did. But there were kids. There were around 30 kids between the ages of 0 and 2 who were orphans. And there's a couple women. I think they're both from England. And they were running that place there. And just an amazing thing. It's something many of us here take for granted, that we have families. And, you know, the kids you see running around here, they have homes and security in their homes. And to think that this was just 30 of the thousands of children out there who need homes. But anyways, trying to think there. Yeah, there was a story I was thinking of telling. But actually, you know what, I might come to it later if we get there. So we'll just keep moving forward here. So after, wow, oh yeah, I forgot to add that picture. After my return from Zambia, it wasn't long, and I couldn't take it anymore. Just had to get engaged to Sarah. So May 30, 2005, she said yes, and we were married about 5 months later. And I guess I'll just get you to imagine here. Imagine a girl in a wedding dress and a boy in a suit. I wasn't a teenager, but... oh, I'd have to stop there. Okay. Anyway, we were young. It was young love. And we had known each other for a few years. And surprisingly, we had the blessing of people around us to go ahead and get married. And that was all we wanted. So that was then. All right. So it wasn't long, and Sierra came along. Our first child. And it's quite something to have a first child in your home and to practice parenting on them. And certainly God has blessed us in that, and we have lots of good examples and parenting advice from people too. But what a pleasure to have healthy and happy Sierra in our lives. And I just had to put this picture up. That's Rita and Sierra. I just thought it looked kind of familiar. Rita looks a little mischievous, and Sierra looks like, what's going on? So, it's amazing how that carries through. Did Rita grow out of being mischievous? No. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. So, Sarah had never been to Tsukiji, and it's one of those places, once you go, a little bit of your heart stays there with you, or with them, however it should be put. It just was a neat place to be. This picture up here, maybe not the best memory for Sarah particularly. She's good now. I felt bad about it too, but before we went to Zambia, we had been renting a house here in Listowel, and we decided that we would get out of that house and find a free place to live. So we moved to Mom and Dad's shop, which was at the time being renovated into an apartment, part of it there. But it wasn't quite ready yet, so we actually, you could see our dining table is in a shop. We got shelving and tools in the background there. And, yeah. Anyway, I think that's our bed there. Anyways, it wasn't the nicest place necessarily. It was a little different. But, and then I have some pictures here of just before we left. And it was pretty neat to find those pictures when I was looking through some of our photos. It was Sarah and my sister Christina there. And this, I believe it was the night we left, or the just before we left. And my friend Dan and Dave Workington were there along with Mom and Dad. And we were just about to head off to Zambia at that point. And it's special to me that I can see them supporting us in that. Not that that was ever out of character for them, but it was pretty cool to find those pictures. And then we were there, along with Sierra. And Sarah was expecting at this time. That was another thing we were trusting God in and going forward in faith with, because some people were a little bit concerned the fact that Sarah was pregnant at the time when we were flying out overseas. And how far along were you when we went back? It was 5 or 6 months, I think. Yeah. It was pretty near the limit of when you're actually allowed to be on a flight anyway. But we felt that God was meant for us to go, and so we just went ahead. This picture on the right is another example of God providing for us. This was after a container of supplies arrived to the mission that had been sent from Canada. And somewhere in this pile of boxes, there was some diapers that were sent for us so that we could use for Sierra while we were there. Is that embarrassing? Okay. That's good. It's a baby thing. It's all right. So, anyways, the problem was it arrived about a month and a half into our trip, and we were there for about 2 months. But I don't even know how it all went. But somehow we got diapers from different people, and they weren't really that available out there. But we were well provided for, and when the diapers finally did arrive, we used a few, and the rest got passed on to someone else, of course. But that was something that stands out as God providing for us. which is always so neat to see. And then on the left here, that's just when we were about to leave. And I feel bad for those kids every time. Because after you're there for a couple months, they attach themselves to you. And then it's like, see you later. And you'd think they'd be maybe a bit used to that, but there was a lot of tear-filled eyes as we left. And it was pretty special to be part of that there. And most of those kids would be adults now, I guess. So, and then this, I did have another picture. Something went a little strange. But anyway, after we got back from Zambia, our trip there, we fairly quickly settled back into life. And this was at my parents' place. We always were doing something a little crazy there. So this is just a field car that David cut apart. It was actually Sonia's old car that she used to drive around. But, so there we got Vanessa, Joel, Nathan, Cameron, Christina, Rita, and Carolyn in this photo. So this was back in 2008 in the spring or summer. Many of you probably don't recognize this guy. That's Rob Terpstra. A lot of you maybe don't even know him. Or know him that well. But God brought Rob into my life at a special time for a special purpose. And in the summer of 2008, we got to spend a fair bit of time together. He had just purchased a farm, and I'd helped him with some fencing, and we spent some time there. And Rob was someone who I could always talk to easily about spiritual things and about God working in our lives. And he is a fairly new Christian himself, and was eager to know God and learn more, and often put me to shame at his love for Christ and passion to serve the Lord. And as I move forward, you'll see how he was there. I'll explain that. So after being back from Zambia, God blessed us with a second daughter, Chloe. And there you can see she's just born. And that was our family picture. So two sisters. And Chloe adapted well into her family and was very loved. And show a picture there of Christina holding Chloe as well. One thing sometimes good, you don't know what comes ahead in life, because need God's grace when the time comes, and it would be hard to know in advance. And the picture on the right is my last picture holding Chloe. And the one on the left is one of Sarah's last pictures. I thought I'd stay composed, but anyway. This was the night one of my cousins got married. This was my last memory with my sister Christina. She is a beautiful girl, almost 16 at the moment of this picture. And as mentioned, we were at a cousin's wedding, and we were dancing together. And I hope to dance with her again someday once Jesus brings me into heaven. And I do look forward to seeing her someday. On September 7, 2008, tragedy struck our family hard. It started out as a nice sunny day. We went to church in the morning. It was Sunday school's promotion Sunday. We watched Christina receive a Bible, graduating from the Sunday school program. I can still see it. She was up here and she held her Bible up. Sierra went to pick up a gift out of the birthday box and she chose a bright pink teddy bear. Sunday afternoon, some youth were planning to play some volleyball in Heidelberg, which was nothing unordinary for us. But I wasn't feeling up to it, so I planned to stay home with Sierra, who was almost 2 years old. It was the day before her second birthday. Dan Hordyke swung by to pick up Sarah, Chloe, Dave, and Christina, and they headed off. And only God knew what was about to happen. While Sierra and I were both having an afternoon nap, Dan's car was T-boned at an intersection on his way to volleyball. Next thing I knew, there were two police officers with Dad and Mom at our door of the apartment we were at, telling me that Chloe had died in a car crash and that Sarah was in critical condition. I was instructed to come with them in the police cruiser. I struggled to speak, and all I said was, "Okay." And I turned to get a shirt on. As we flew down the road with lights and sirens, the police officers were receiving some updates, and we started to piece together what was going on. We weren't even sure who was all in the car at first. Dan and Chloe were instantly killed, and Christina was in critical condition, being airlifted to Hamilton. So they saw him in person that day. They saw Jesus, and they're with him. And there's no way to express the wonder they felt. But it left us confused and hurting. But yet, there was still a peace, and I think only is a peace that God can give me. Somehow, I felt accepting of it, as painful as it was. And the only answer was just to trust God. Even though it was something that was impossible for us to understand. And it even haunted me just to think about the precision required for that accident to even happen. And it was easy to question what God's plan was in this. And I still don't entirely know, but I have seen God work through it. So it was both painful and beautiful at the same time. So we were surrounded by friends and family. People came from near and far to love us. God showed us his love and his care through a lot of you. And we thank you for that. We really do. It means a lot. Just being there meant so much to us. And this was not how we would have intended to celebrate Sierra's second birthday. But there she is in the hospital there with a little party hat. We brought out the little red tricycle we had bought for her. And there you can see Sarah's in a wheelchair. That was probably a couple weeks after when you were home again. And speaking of God providing for our lives and showing us his care, the fact that we were in the apartment at Mom and Dad's across from their house was God's provision in advance for this time. It had all 36-inch wide doors and not a single step in the apartment. It was all wheelchair accessible. And there are so many things like that that we just knew God was with us and caring for us, and he was looking out for us. Sarah had sustained a lot of injuries in the accident. She had 8 different fractures. Base of her skull was cracked, a vertebrae was chipped off, a couple ribs, shoulder bone, pelvis. And we weren't sure how this would go when she got pregnant again. And so after lots of prayers and a near full recovery, Tyler was given to our family. And he's been an important part of our life for over 9 years now. And we call him our miracle baby because we weren't sure how it would go, but God blessed us with him. And everything was okay. And it was hard. It's different to hold a baby again after that. You go through a time where it's hard to see other people holding babies. And you often wonder, you know, what life might have been like. But the good thing is it gives you a different perspective that we are just here for a little time. We don't have much of a life. We don't know how long it's going to be. It could be over tonight, sometime this week. It's not up to us. It's not our choice. It's important to be ready for when that time comes. One thing I wanted to mention, too, was having Sierra through this time was also God's blessing in our lives. Because she gave us a reason to get up. We had to still take care of Sierra and try to and had to meet her needs as well. And I wanted to mention that was also very important to have a 2-year-old in the house as motivation to keep going forward and to keep moving on. And then God blessed our family with another girl. Kyla was given to our family. And there she is in, there she is out. And then there we had our 3 kids with us. Another healthy baby girl. And Sierra had a sister to grow up with. Then came along Cody, and he just turned 4 on Friday. Yeah, that's exciting. So here we are before Cody was born. There's a picture of him there, ultrasound. And we had a gender reveal party, and we found out we were going to have another son. And what a blessing Cody's been to us. He is full of life and energy. and never stops asking me for dirt bike rides. Even though I say no a lot. And I have to thank my family for putting up with me. Because I do sometimes say no a lot. Does Daddy say he has to work a lot? Yeah. And that's something I need to continually be challenged on, is to make sure I take the important time and spend it with my family. And I think we treasure our kids differently, or we think about it a little differently. You know, they are gifts from God, and we love them and enjoy them. So there we are, with a cat and a dog, just because we need a little more chaos. What we don't have in there is our chickens. They're a little crazy. But anyway, you'll have to come over and see those. So there we have a family. And God has blessed me. God has blessed us with a beautiful family. And I am grateful. A couple years ago, we moved out of Listowel. I never mentioned the fact that we did eventually get out of the apartment and buy a home in Listowel. A couple years ago, we moved out of Listowel to this little house that kind of fallen apart. But there's lots of room for the kids to run around, and we are enjoying it there. And we've seen people live with a lot less. And when the kids dent the wall, we don't worry about it too much. So, anyways, one thing that struck me, I went for a run yesterday morning. So, every time you're on foot, you can take a good look at your neighborhood, right? Normally, you just fly by when you're driving. But it occurred to me, I don't know if this is a little weird because I have one of my neighbors here tonight. But two of our neighbors have died since purchasing our property there. And I just wasn't sure of their standing with the Lord and if they had their faith in Jesus to be saved. And so that's something I've been thinking through lately, was to make sure all my neighbors know about Jesus and that they can be saved through faith in him. Couple things. Oh, I hadn't looked at the clock for a while. I apologize. I'm almost done, though, so that's good. A couple things. How God's working in my life. I listen to something called the Daily Audio Bible, which basically you listen through the Bible in a whole year. Right now I am a couple weeks behind, but I think I'll make it this year. And what a way to grow and understand the Bible more, to listen to it, for me anyway. I spend a lot of time driving around, and I can just download it on my phone and play it while I'm driving. And that's been an encouragement to me. This picture here is no one that I know. But one thing God's been working on my heart with is the need to care for kids who don't have families. There's 30,000 children in Canada who have no families under the age of 18. And God's put that on our heart to be available for fostering or adopting if God leads us into that and opens the doors for that. So that's something we've been praying about and want you to know about. James 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And I used to think of this as a command, but it's not. It's actually a description of what it means to take your faith seriously. It's to care for needy people, whoever God brings to your life. And it's important that we do something for it. I'd like to ask Sierra and Kyla to come up. And they have a song to share for us. Thank you, girls. All right, I had a 2.5-minute video I was planning to show. Maybe you can pull it up, Gary. I'm going to close, and if anyone's got to get out of here or doesn't like ending late, go ahead. But I'll ask you after I close in prayer, Gary, to just go ahead and play that video if you would. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given each one of us a different story. I just pray for your encouragement to each person here. Thank you for who you are and that you can use any one of us, no matter where we are or what we've done. I pray for your blessing on each person here. Help us to be inspired to follow you with our lives. And if there's someone here that's not saved and doesn't understand how to enter a relationship with you through Jesus, please help them figure it out tonight to find someone or to read something, or just pray that you'll move with your Holy Spirit, whatever it takes to work in that person's heart. Help us to be willing to be used by you and to trust you no matter what life brings to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Most of us have had someone, somewhere, who believed in us. Maybe it was a coach or a teacher. For many of us, it was our parents. Parents are special. They stick by us even when it's tough. They're a permanent part of our lives, guardians who are there through all the ups and downs. We like to think that because of parents, everyone, everywhere has had someone who believed in them. Except not everyone has. More than 30,000 kids in Canada are waiting to belong. These are kids who don't have a permanent, loving family, someone who can say, "I love you," and mean it, forever. Without adoption, many of them will age out of the system at 18 and grow old, never having a family of their own. It's not about statistics, it's about one child at a time. Take Emily, for example. Research says that if not adopted, she is more likely to become a victim of crime, less likely to complete high school, more likely to experience homelessness, and has a higher chance of childhood abuse, cancer, and early death. Without a permanent family, her future doesn't look very bright, but it doesn't have to be this way. It starts with a family. When a loving family adopts Emily, her future is changed forever. She'll have a permanent place to grow, full of hope, and able to reach for her dreams. But that's not all. It takes a community to adopt this family and show them love and understanding. It takes churches and friends to stand by them as they grow together as a family. This is no small task, and it's full of challenges, but we can do it. You can support a family in your church who's wanting to adopt. You can tell your friends, talk to your pastor, or hold a dinner to talk about adoption. Or, if you're ready, you and your family can adopt one of the 30,000 kids in Canada who is waiting to belong. Together, we can end the wait.